Welcome to Betrayal Trauma Recovery. I'm Anon. So today is the anniversary of two things. First, my wedding, and also the day I found out that my husband is abusive. So my wedding was beautiful. It was absolutely perfect in a lot of ways. I didn't necessarily feel connected to my husband on that day. I felt more concerned about like all the other people that were there. But in terms of the timing and the venue and everything about it was absolutely perfect. It could not have gone better. Very grateful to my parents for providing that beautiful, wonderful day. Contrast that to 7 years later on the same day, my husband and I were in therapy in our home online. So our therapist was on the computer and suddenly out of nowhere, my husband started screaming and yelling at me and pounding the desk, and he broke the door to my office. He broke the closet door and he put two holes in the wall and he was swearing. And the therapist told me to leave. I went upstairs. My parents were here. They were tending the kids and they heard all the racket. And I went out in the garage. On the phone, my therapist said, "You are a victim of domestic violence. This is domestic violence. This is a crime. He could be arrested for this. He would be arrested for this if I called the police right now and told him what happened." He said, "He has lost the privilege of being in a family for now. You need to be separated. There's no way that he can remain in the home." Then he talked to my husband and told him he had to leave. And my husband was very mad. And then my dad went down to talk to my husband and he said, "I wish I could get out of this marriage. I hate this marriage. I feel trapped." And my dad said, "Well, why don't you do something about it?" And he said, "Because then I would just be having to live in a basement apartment." My dad said it was awful. He said that he basically just saw hate and resentment and anger. And when my dad walked up the stairs, he said, "You are not safe with him. You're going to have to get a divorce. He does not have any empathy or love toward you. All he has is enmity toward you." Then he left. And I don't know where he went, but he got on his bike and left. About, I think, in the morning, he was in his office. I think he came in through the window. I can't remember. But that night, the therapist texted me and said, "What do you need? I know you've been through a horrific experience." And it was kind of weird to me because my husband had done that several times over the course of my marriage. In fact, many, 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 many times. Not necessarily broken the door, but the screaming and yelling right in my face and almost spitting in my face. And no one had really ever witnessed it before. A friend of mine from Washington, D.C., we recently connected, and I told her what was going on. And she said, "I have witnessed that. I was hospitalized for hemorrhaging after a miscarriage. I called my husband and said, 'You need to ride your bike home and come get me at the hospital.' Well, on his way home, he was hit by a car, and he was also hospitalized. It was just a horrific day." Anyway, my friend, she picked me up at the hospital and took me to my husband's hospital. And when I got there, my husband got angry. He told me to shut up. He yelled at me. And she witnessed this. And I had not remembered that. But when we talked, you know, I said, "His story is very different than mine. He's blaming me for a lot of things." She said, "No, I witnessed it. I can be a witness for you. I saw that. It was so strange. I just chalked it up to the medication. But that was abusive there in the hospital." And she said, you said to me, "I just want to go home. Please take me home." And she said, "I should have taken you home. But instead, I thought, no, you've both been through this traumatic experience. You need to be together." And I remember after she left, I left the hospital room and I found a quiet place and I just started to cry. I just cried and cried and cried. I didn't know what to do. Anyway, so both my anniversary of my wedding and the day where I was point blank told that I was a victim of domestic violence and that my husband had lost the privilege of being in a family are the same day. And that's today. Last night, I broke down and just cried and cried. I went to the temple. I felt a little better. I called some friends who really helped me. And anyway, it's an interesting thing that it's the same day. And so whenever I think about my anniversary, I also will think about that day that I was told point blank that I was a victim. So getting into character defects, I have a lot to think about on this day, thinking about what my character defects are, how they played into this big mess that I'm in, and how it affected my situation. So I'm working the Al-Anon Blueprint for Progress fourth step inventory. This will be the fifth time I've done step four, and I think I'm getting a little better, but it's still really tough. Let me run down some of the topics that it has you go into in depth. Honesty, self-worth, fear, anger, resentment, justification, control, attitudes, communication, responsibilities, finances, guilt, shame, relationships, trust, commitment, gratitude, love, intimacy, maturity, sex, values. Let me give you an example of one of these, and it's I'm going to talk about relationships right now. So this might be one way of getting into character defects and knowing what is on your side of the street and what you contributed to and knowing what's on the other side of the street. From the workbook, there are many different kinds of relationships and many have multiple levels of intensity. Having been affected by sexaholism, many of us find it difficult to form and sustain close relationships. Our actions often teach people how to treat us. It may be all too obvious that we expected too much or too little from life. We may not know how to interact with people. We may decide that having others in our lives is just not worth the effort, so we deprive ourselves of companionship. Sometimes the hardest relationships are the ones we didn't choose. These are relationships with family members. If we're lucky, we eventually learn that both individuals can make an effort in order for a relationship to work, and such work can begin with us. Our behavior can be a powerful example to those around us. As our self-esteem improves, we may enjoy improvements in the quality of our relationships. As we do our best in all of our encounters, people notice and may respond accordingly. The operative word being may respond accordingly. Many of us find after a while we begin to attract what we give out. If we are consistently warm and respectful, we tend to attract respect and warmth from others. I am very grateful for that. I have the most wonderful friends, and I'm so thankful for all the support and love that I have. So some of the questions in this section are, how do I interact with people in my home, on my job, and in my neighborhood? Who sets the boundaries in my relationships? In my interactions with others, what might be harmful about my responses? How am I honest or dishonest in my relationships? My role in relationships? How do I choose my relationships? What are three positive things I bring to a relationship? What negative behavior am I responsible for in a close relationship? What is the difference between right and wrong and their way and my way? Then there's a section called broken relationships. What were the main reasons why major relationships in my life ended? How am I responsible for the chaos in some of my relationships? How much do I try to control the thinking and actions of others? How do I treat those with whom I am in conflict? How do I show respect and tolerance to people in my life? How do I show others I care for them when I disagree with what they say or do? And then by at the end, there's always this question of findings. By answering these questions on the subject of relationships, what have I learned about myself? So as I'm going through this, I've learned a lot in depth about each of these topics. I'm finding that I have a lot of issues around trust, which I knew already. There's many ways where I need to improve, especially with my children, to make sure that I build trust with them and maintain trust. I've also found that for me, my main character defects that crop up are fear and control. When we talk about step seven, which I'll talk about next week, that is when you actually ask God to remove those character weaknesses. I want to read a bit from the script that we use in SA Lifeline. Over time, we learn to accept a number of new ideas. Number one, sexual addiction is a true addiction. At first, many of us could not accept this idea. We thought it meant that sex addicts were somehow not responsible for their behavior or that we were not entitled to our feelings of anger or hurt. That does not mean either of those things. For us, it means that we see sex addicts as sick people, not bad people. They are powerless over lust. Number two, the actions of the sex addict are not a result of something we did or did not do, and we do not have the power to control their behavior. Number three, our attempts to control or ignore the sexual addiction led to a decline in our emotional health and may have enabled the sex addict to continue to practice his disease. And number four, When we first come to 12-step, we too are spiritually and emotionally ill. As we work toward full acceptance of these ideas, we begin to see our problems in a new light, and the awareness dawns that we do have choices concerning our own behavior. This is the beginning of our own recovery. We remind ourselves that we are powerless over the behavior caused by sexual addiction and all actions and reactions of other adults. We ask God to help us stop blaming and trying to control the sex addict and the acting out behavior. So that's where my control came from. Character defects are very interesting because at first it's very scary to start looking at them. Now that I've done step four so many times with my sponsor and I talk about my character defects openly with group and with you and with other people, I'm becoming more human. I'm becoming more able to look at myself and say, wow, like my character defect of fear really came out there and I'm so sorry. With my children, when I ask them to do something and they don't do it repeatedly, and then I kind of am like, oh, I'm going to make you do it, right? That's when my control comes out, rather than knowing that I have a lot of options. Another character defect that comes out sometimes is impatience. There's so many options in dealing with something. And I think with character defects, when we're sort of in that character defect, we think there's just maybe that one way to do it. But there's so many different options if we can think through it. One of my character assets is being very logical and being able to reason through something. And so when we look at our character defects, we also look at our character assets. What are the things that we're really good at? One thing I'm quite good at is friendships. I have amazing friendships. They're very deep. They're very meaningful. They're very intimate with so many wonderful women that I love and care about and who support me. I am honestly shocked sometimes at how many people love and support me and I feel close to, and if I need help, I can reach out. So that's another asset that I have. As you look at your character defects and assets, there's a lot of ways to look at it. The process of steps 4, 5, 6, and 7 are circular. You know, you might do it once and think, oh, I've got everything, and then realize, oh, wow, there's more. It's like peeling layers of an onion back. And for people who think, I'm just going to do step 4 perfectly this first time, and then I'm going to do step 5 perfectly, and step 6 perfectly, and step 7 perfectly, and then after I do that, I will be perfect. That is not the way that recovery works. I am continually doing these over and over, and each time a new layer comes off, I am seeing God's grace in my life and seeing more peace in my life as He's removing these character defects little by little. Now, like I said, the fear is still pretty intense. Also, having my husband be at my center is still pretty intense. I was going through wedding photos and I want to give them to him and be like, look, this is what we, you know, you covenanted with God and with me to keep these covenants and you have not kept your covenants. This is a reminder of that. And I'm not going to give it to him. I've surrendered that to God. Surrendering, trying to convince him of the true situation. Just working on myself. So working the steps one day at a time. It's hard when other people interpret our behavior differently than we intend it. So I have to just surrender my husband's perceptions of me. I surrender his behavior. I surrender the way he interprets information. I surrender the blame that he puts on me or the responsibilities that he gives me, which are not my responsibilities to fix things or do things. So all those are part of finding those character defects and getting to the bottom of things. My hope is that those of you listening will not be afraid of steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, but start the process. Do the process at least for the first time, even if it's not perfect. Kind of get a little more comfortable with it and then try it again. And as you get more and more comfortable with it, you'll be able to talk about your character defects, not with shame or with guilt, but with self-compassion and kindness toward yourself and knowing that you're not powerful enough to remove these character defects. And that as you keep trying and keep asking Heavenly Father, He will remove them in His own time. Thanks to all of you who listen. If you enjoy this podcast and find it useful to you, will you please go to iTunes and leave a rating? That helps more women find it. Also, I highly encourage you, if you've been listening to this podcast and have not taken any action, that you start actually taking some action in your life to enter recovery. Go to a meeting, start reading the Blue Book, start working the steps. You will not regret it. And your life will start changing for the better.